Hello, hello, hello. Thank you to all of you who have already ordered my new novel, The Sicilian Inheritance. We are now 2 weeks out from launch. 2 freaking weeks. Isn't that insane? I feel like I've been talking about this since like the dawn of man, and now it's 2 weeks away. I can't wait to get it into all of your hands. My goal is to get it to as many of you as possible. If you buy the book, if you get the book from your bookstore, if you listen to the book, I just want you to hear this story because I know you're going to love it. I do. And I bought so many delightful goodies in Sicily. I was photographing them this morning for a bunch of giveaways I get to do when people post things about the book. Get your pre-order in so it arrives right on April 2nd so that you can enter to win these cool things. You deserve nice things. You do. And as always, when you order and send me a receipt on Instagram or email, I will add you to our Substack for free for life. For life, we post transcripts of the shows, exclusive interviews, and much, much more. Also, I give away free books all the time. All the time. I love today's episode, and I think you're going to too. Today we are talking to a woman who wants to pull back the curtain on a very specific kind of social media.
I'm a project manager, community builder, and basically a never-ending problem solver. And I don't see myself in a lot of these idealized, romanticized, nostalgic farming accounts online.
A lot of things get fetishized on Instagram. Motherhood is definitely one of those. Baking is another. Homesteading. And of course, farming. Farm life on Instagram, or should I say hashtag farm life on Instagram, is seen as gorgeous and aspirational. We rarely, if ever, see the hard actual work that goes into farming, the backbreaking labor, and the intense costs of maintaining a farm. We do see a lot of chickens and beautiful blue eggs, but never the dirt under the fingernails or the fields that have failed due to unpredictable weather patterns. We don't see these things because they aren't always pretty and perfect on social media, and social media thrives on pretty and perfect. Today we're talking about what it's really like to be a woman farmer, what it's really like to work your land, and what it's really like to depend on your farm for a living for you and your family. There's so much that we don't see on social media when we're served reel after reel of hashtag farm life. Today we get to talk to Sayer Palmer. Sayer is a vegetable farmer, and farming is her sole income. It is not a hobby. She's also a mom who tries to juggle work life with mom life. Sayer is on social media at Open Woods Farm, but she actually shows us the realities of farm life and not just the dream of it.
My name is Sayer Palmer, and I own a small certified organic vegetable farm in New Hampshire called Open Woods. Most of my sales are direct-to-consumer sales through a CSA and local farmers market. I do have a spouse, and we operate under the same business name, but he does tree work, and I'm the farmer. He basically doesn't have very much involvement with the farm, except for sometimes he helps me build greenhouses. I do have a full-time employee, and the farm is my sole source of income. So this is a job, and it's not a hobby. And we have a 5-year-old daughter, and she's really cool.
5-year-olds are pretty cool. I have a 4-year-old who I'm hoping is going to be cooler soon.
Yeah, it's kind of my favorite age so far. It's the first time where I've really been like, okay, time can slow down now. I'm good. Now is good.
Totally, totally. My 6-year-old is awesome. And I know that my 4-year-old just has to get her like 4 jiggles out. Like it's just, there's so many emotions happening all of the time. And like once she chills, we're going to be in a really good place.
Awesome. Definitely relating.
All right. My next question is, we are living in a time when social media makes farm work and the business of farming look beautiful and aspirational and strangely nostalgic in a lot of ways. How is that not living up to what it is actually like to be working on a real farm in the real world?
I think that the biggest difference for me and the thing that's hardest for me to be a person in the world with is the way it's portrayed as a hobby. I have to grow vegetables, but I also have to sell those vegetables. I'm a marketing strategist and a payroll coordinator. I have to maintain my organic certifications and produce safety requirements. I'm a project manager, community builder, and basically a never-ending problem solver. And I don't see myself in a lot of these idealized, romanticized, nostalgic farming accounts online. And that's kind of hard. And it makes it the way that I relate with people in a public setting, like a farmer's market, a little bit different because they expect me to be more like what images they're seeing online. I do think it's important to show the beautiful parts of farming. There's a lot of really nice stuff here. There's a lot of really beautiful vegetables. But I do make a huge effort to talk about the hard things and the ugly things and the devastating things and bugs having sex and dead rodents. And I think it's nice to have that balance.
I think it's so nice to have that balance too, because life is always somewhere in the middle. I say this all the time that we get so many extremes about motherhood on social media. Like, you're either the perfect, beautiful, angelic, barefoot wearing white all the time mother who somehow never gets dirty, or you're the hot mess wine mom. And I think we all exist somewhere in the in-between, with the good and the bad and the ugly, but there's no place for the in-between on social media. It is all these extremes. And I don't think reality gets amplified nearly enough, especially not when it comes to farm life and farm labor. So I love what you're doing, showing the reality of that. What are some of the realities? What are some of the harder things that you want to show people about what it takes to grow food?
It's easy to talk about the physical aspect of it. There's full days of work that require your body all day, every day. I'm always covered in dirt. I always have sunscreen and bug spray on, which makes me more covered in dirt. I do get to wear cute sun hats, because if I wear a cute sun hat, I get to wear less sunscreen, which means a little less dirt. But I think that the hardest thing for me to reconcile in all of this is that this is just my job, just like anybody else has a job, just like a teacher or a doctor or an electrician. And there's still a lot of expectation placed on me that because I'm working from home and I'm working on what people see as a farm, they expect that my daughter is with me all of the time. And she's not. She's with her dad, or she's at daycare. And I think that it confuses my identity for me a little bit. And I don't ever really feel comfortable in any of my roles. And so I've been working really hard on the gray area and allowing myself to have several different identities. So I'm happy to let my work define me. I'm out in the field all day, every day, or I'm at the computer planning spreadsheets every day. But I can also be defined by my role as a mother. I mean, that's all I am to my daughter. And I think I can continue to flow in and out of these several definitions that create my identity. But in farming, it's hard to show that to people when you're working so hard all the time.
Right, right. And I think I do think that a lot of the hard work of farming, it's just missing from the social media. And I think that does, I think it does a disservice to all of us, because I do think it's so important for us to know the labor that goes into the food that we eat. And by kind of sanitizing that in these images that we see that are so influential, because a lot of these images on social media may be the only images that someone will ever have of a farmer, because we are so disconnected from our food. And yeah, it just, it disconnects us even more from so much of the work that goes into it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, I have worked on a lot of farms where the workday was supposed to go from 7 to 4, but you were never let go until 6 or 6:30. And that's the other reality of it that you don't really see on Instagram. But because I have those experiences, I've done a lot of work to balance that out. I have an end time every day. I have a start time every day. And no matter what I'm doing, I make sure to stop and be done for the day. That is hard to do when your paycheck revolves around whether or not your vegetables are growing. But it's really the only way that I can reconcile farm life and family life. Yeah, it's hard.
It's so interesting to me what you said about how when people hear that you're a farmer, they assume that your daughter is with you all the time. Number one, it's not an assumption that we would make about a male farmer. And number two, in a lot of the farming accounts that we see on social media, we constantly see children frolicking around. Again, because it's not showing the real labor. And I think that that makes people think, oh, not only is this easy, but this is the kind of job where your kids can just be with you all the time. It's so idyllic. And it actually made me think, I get the same thing a lot when people find out that I'm a writer, you know, that I write books, and they're like, oh, that must make it so much easier to have your baby home all day. And I have to correct them. And I try to set the record straight as often as possible. I have full-time childcare because being a writer is my full-time job. You know, when I'm not writing books or making podcasts, I'm doing all of the administrative duties, all of the marketing and the publicity and everything that it takes to get this content out into the world. And I don't think anyone would ever say to a male writer, oh, it must be so easy for you to take care of your children. They would just assume you're sitting in a room for 8 hours a day writing your novels. But for a woman, people see it as just as a way to work and have a hobby and also raise your kids.
And I think the added aspect with farming is that it's just dangerous to have your kids around. It's not a safe environment for a child to be in. And I talk about that a lot. I do not consider myself an influencer, but I do rely heavily on my social media for business growth. And I'm pretty straight up with how hard it is for me to be a mom and a farmer simply because of the expectations that are placed on me because of a woman. And even though I'm honest about this, I still have people show up saying, oh, your kid is so lucky to grow up this way and you're really raising her right. I shake my head and I'm like, just because I have a farm? I don't understand. She won't even eat vegetables. Like, why is what I'm doing any better than what anyone else is doing? And why is this all on me? She's an amazing person, and it's not because I have a farm.
Right. But there is this kind of cultural idea that that is the perfect childhood because we see these images that are not real.
You know, the reality of what I'm doing is does not involve sundresses. It does not involve the color white. It does not involve cute baby animals. But it is beautiful. There's a lot of really nice stuff going on. But I'm also farming and I'm not homesteading. And I think there's a really big difference there that's not really talked about on social media.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's something we're going to explore in this episode and even in further episodes, because you are farming, not homesteading, which means this is a business and you are running a business. And that's very different from the accounts that, you know, just do hashtag homesteading, hashtag farm life, for whom this is usually a hobby. Interestingly, we are also going to have someone on the show who is legitimately homesteading and also wants to talk about how real homesteading is nothing like the hashtag homesteading on social media. In reality, all of this is hard. Like, none of this is as pretty as the pictures make it seem to be. And yet, as you said, it is beautiful. Growing food and raising food is beautiful and awesome. And I think your account is so beautiful. I have a highly curated feed for someone who reports on social media. I don't follow Ballerina Farm. Everyone always asks me that. They're like, oh my gosh, if you find her irritating, don't follow her. And I'm like, I don't. People just send me things all the time. But your account is one that I follow because I like seeing what you do. I like getting a glimpse into your world. And I wish that more social media was legitimately getting a glimpse into worlds that we don't usually experience, because that's cool.
It is really cool. And to be fair, I don't really follow any of those accounts either, but there is a really amazing community of women-led vegetable farms on Instagram talking about the business, talking about their daily lives. Some have kids, some don't. But I actually use Instagram as an educational resource to that end, just because there's so many other awesome female farmers out there willing to share their lives.
Do you also feel like you have to be on social media to grow your business? I feel like I can't get off. I would like to get off social media, but this is how people find me and my podcasts and my books. And so it has become a necessary evil in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the other undershared part of farming, is that before I grow vegetables, before I'm a farmer, I'm a business owner. And I live in a very small rural community. And part of my success in farming is that I started right before COVID and everyone was online, and having a social media presence and being honest with people is really what created my customer base. I have tried to switch more towards an email platform, but I still use the excuse I can't get off social media because my business needs it.
Yeah, same. I have moved over to Substack. The fact is, the majority of my audience doesn't want to be on email, or they want to be on email and Instagram. And you go where your audience is, you go where your people are. And for right now, that is where my people are. So I will remain there, and also on the emails, and also, oh, God forbid, the TikToks. Time for a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about what a day in the life of a real farmer actually looks like. Can you tell me a little bit about what is a day in your life like as a farmer running a business? What is your daily routine?
Wake up, and Annie wakes up shortly after me, and we sort of all have breakfast and take care of each other. And then my employee shows up at 8 the night before. I've sort of planned what we're doing for the day. You know, if it's a Monday, we're going to be seeding in the greenhouse and transplanting in the field all morning. We'll have a half hour lunch, and then we'll go back out and we'll finish transplanting and irrigating. Same thing happens on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. There's a lot of field work, like weeding. I usually do a field walk to see what needs to be harvested. On Fridays, we harvest, and that takes most of the day. You can't just harvest vegetables. You also have to wash them and pack them. I have record keeping requirements because I'm certified organic, so everything that I harvest, I have a record of that. It goes into my walk-in cooler. I do a lot of marketing on Fridays and Saturdays, and then I have my main farmer's market on Sunday. I live where I work, so I say that I'm done at 4 o'clock or 4:30 in the afternoon, but that just means my employee goes home, I come in, connect with my family. I might still be running out to irrigate. I might still be running out to put row cover on plants if it's going to be cold. Basically, I spend December, January, and February planning what my spring and summer is going to be like. Once the season starts, once, you know, we come to April, I need to have everything that I need for the season purchased, all the tools and supplies that I'll need, because I know that I can't do anything except grow and sell vegetables. I'm basically on autopilot, and I rely on all the lists and spreadsheets and forms that I made back in December to get me through the season. And I can probably pick a date and tell you exactly what I'll be doing on that date this summer. There's a lot of planning.
Nowhere in there did you mention running barefoot through a field in a flowered dress with a child on your hip. You didn't, amazingly.
I will say that I do wear Crocs. They're sort of my farming shoe of choice. So my feet are often very dirty, but I would never be barefoot.
Yes. That is what I hear from a lot of farmers. And also, you know, the economic realities of farming, because this is a business, there are lots of ups and downs, right?
Yeah, definitely. I probably made 20% less income this year than I should have just because it rained every single day and there's nothing I can do about it.
Right. And that's another reality that we don't see nearly enough. What are some things that you want more people to know about being a farmer and about farm life generally?
When we were talking email, I put farm life in quotation marks in the subject just because for some reason I hate that term so much. And I think it's because this is really a job for me. It's not some lifestyle that I'm aspiring to. It's just what I do every day. I happened to decide that I wanted to grow vegetables for a living. It's hard physical work, but it's just that for me. It's my job. It's work. It's my business. Hard stop, basically.
Yeah, I do not hashtag writer life. Writer life is a slog every single day.
Yeah, and I guess that's something I'd never really thought about, and how everything is presented on Instagram is that it's all this like aspiration to some other life, but farm life is just my job.
Why did you want to be a farmer? What made you make this decision?
Oh my goodness. It's probably a story that is pretty familiar to most other millennials. I went to school for something entirely different than agriculture. I have a master's degree in viola performance and Suzuki pedagogy. And at some point I moved to New York City to teach, and I worked in the music library at Juilliard. And I was at a desk all day, every day, and I sort of lost my mind. And I think that I chose the most opposite direction I could think of to go in besides sitting at a desk all day, every day, reading food blogs. And so I moved back to my home state of Vermont, and I started working for other farms. They don't pay very well. There are a lot of hours. It's really not awesome to work for another farm manager oftentimes. So I sort of decided that if I wanted my life to be sustainable or different, that I was going to have to start my own farm business.
And the decision to start your own farm business, I mean, it's not easy to get a farm off the ground, right? What was the nitty gritty of getting that done?
That's a big question. And I do want to say that I think a lot of that, you know, owning land, being in a position to feel comfortable enough to start your own business, there's a certain amount of inherent privilege in that. I happened to be with a partner who inherited a small amount of money to buy a small piece of land in the middle of the woods. I did not get involved with a partner who had lots of money to buy beautiful river bottom ag land. So we actually had to do a lot of the land clearing here ourselves. Luckily, he does tree work, so that was within his skill set. But it takes a lot of money, and there's a lot of risk involved. I think one of the things that social media overlooks is how expensive it is, and you need to sort of be in a place where you are okay taking on that amount of financial risk.
There's so many things social media overlooks, but one of the things that's really neglected in the conversation is economics, full stop, and also privilege, the ability to start a business, and various levels of privilege when it comes to starting a business. Again, something that is not easily encapsulated in a sexy picture, but something that is incredibly important for all of us to see. So, you know, it is kind of a catch-22, and we know that the algorithm doesn't promote those things the same way as it doesn't promote work.
Yeah, definitely. And I think like thinking about levels of privilege is really interesting. Like, I want to be transparent that I am a, you know, white, almost 40-year-old woman, and that comes, and I have a male spouse, and that comes with a certain amount of privilege, but I'm also not rich. But I do think that conversation around money is completely absent in someone like Ballerina Farm or similar accounts. They're just paying for things because they have lots of money.
Because they have money. Yes. Yes. Because they have money. I think that there is a massive absence in talking about money generally in the world now, particularly on social media. And it matters because social media is where so many of us are meeting and congregating. And I think it is very important for us to talk about what things cost and where money comes from and how we get things done. Otherwise, I think we lose touch with what the real costs of things can and should be.
Yeah, definitely, especially related to food. And the smaller scale you go, the more expensive things are going to be. So I'm a relatively small scale farmer. I don't have the economy of scale. My product, whether organic or not, has to be a little bit more expensive to meet my operating costs.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I think that this, we need to have more conversations like this. What is reality and what do we see on social media? Because they're not the same thing. And so the more that we can just talk to real people about their real lives, I think the better we're all going to understand each other and the images that we're consuming online.
And it's so fascinating. Not every Instagram post of mine is some personal essay, but when I am just honest about how I'm feeling about something, I have better engagement and better conversations, and I'm just a happier person.
Yes, 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 and yes, yes, yes. Where can people find you online?
I'm on Instagram at Open Woods Farm.
Wonderful. And I highly recommend everyone follow you because I enjoy all of the parts of your account, especially the dirty ones. And dirty in like a good, like dirt way, not like filthy.
There is bug sex.
Okay, before we go, you have to tell our audience about the bug sex.
This gets really nerdy, but I do a lot of beneficial insects in my high tunnels. And so I purchase ladybugs or green lace wings, and I get to watch them reproduce, and it's really fun.
It is fun. And frankly, you know what I want more of on social media? Bug sex.
Me too.
And now that I said that out loud, it's Instagram's going to serve me some real weird shit. I know it. I just, oh, all right. Sorry. Not sorry. Don't listen to me, phone. Oh. And that's all we've got for today. Make sure to follow Sayer at Open Woods Farm. You're going to love it. Sayer said this, and I want to say it again. There's a wonderful community of real farmers on social media who show the actual realities and the ups and downs of farm life. And as Sayer said, it is beautiful because real life is beautiful. Now go have a great day, order a copy or two of The Sicilian Inheritance, invite me to your book club so I can make you cannoli and get your mom drunk on limoncello. And as always, do not forget to do something nice for yourself. You deserve it.